Last week, I brought you a message from a most familiar, well-known portion of God's Word. You remember? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Very familiar scripture, yet understood by so few. Well, this morning, I'm going to bring another message. And this message will also be from an equally well-known passage of Scripture, probably better known than Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I'm asking you to take your Bibles, and I wish that you would definitely pick up your Bible and stay with me for the next 26, 27 minutes and follow in the Scripture as I speak to you on the new birth, the new birth. And we're reading from John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Now, you know the scripture. This is our Lord's conversation with Nicodemus concerning the new birth. And you need to hear me out. You need to listen to what I have to say on this subject. I'm going to say some things that'll be new to you. But they're not new to the scripture. They're just not being preached. And perhaps you may receive some light on the subject of the new birth. It may be that God Almighty will be pleased by His great Spirit to speak to our hearts concerning the new birth. Now let's look at it. Just go, start with verse 1, John chapter 3, verse 1, the first line. And let's just take each line, and read through this scripture and comment. Verse 1 says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Now, who were the Pharisees? This man was of the Pharisees. Well, the Pharisees in that day were the religious leaders, men who prided themselves on being moral, righteous, and holy before God and before men. And they measured their holiness by their works and by their deeds. Now in Luke 18, our Lord gave us an illustration. He said a Pharisee, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a publican, a sinner. The other was a Pharisee. And he said the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I fast twice a week. I tithe everything that I possess. I give alms to the poor. That's his works, his morality. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And he spotted that publican, and he said, I'm not like that publican. So the Pharisees would not take the name sinner. They didn't think sinners. We'd be not sinners. The Pharisees were deeply moral and religious. All right, this man was a Pharisee. Now, his name was Nicodemus. Back then, in those days when parents named their children, usually, especially the boys, they took a name that meant something to them. And the word Nicodemus, you can look it up. Look it up in Smith's Bible Dictionary or any other Bible dictionary. The word Nicodemus means innocent blood. That's what his name means. That's the name his parents gave him. Innocent. Innocent blood. No doubt when this mother and father saw this fine son having just been born, they said, ah, what a beautiful baby. There's no corrupt blood here. There's no pagan Gentile blood in his veins. He has pure blood, and we're going to give him a fitting name. Innocent blood. Nicodemus. Oh, how far that is from the truth. The scripture said, in sin my mother conceived me. I was shapen in iniquity. I was brought forth from the womb, speaking lies. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They didn't know this. He didn't know this. And then notice the same verse. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was one of the 70. There was there was a council, a great Jewish council. They were the rulers of the synagogues, the rulers of religion and the Jewish nation, called the Sanhedrin. 70 men belonging to the Sanhedrin. This man, Nicodemus, was a member of the Sanhedrin. He didn't know the Messiah. He knew not the heavenly things. Christ said to him, if I've told you earthly things and you don't understand, how would you understand if I told you heavenly things? Christ said, Nicodemus, are you a ruler of the Jews? You don't understand these simple things I'm talking about. This man didn't know God. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know the Scriptures regarding the Messiah, the Savior. He was standing looking at the Jewish Messiah, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest court, the 70, the council, and he was a teacher, and he didn't know the Scriptures. Oh, it's amazing how successful men can be in religion and not know the Scriptures. We see that today. It's amazing how high men can climb in religion and not have any grace, any knowledge, any understanding of who Christ is, what he came to do, why he did it, or where he is now. You see, just like Nicodemus, they have a form of religion. Nicodemus had the form. He had the ceremonies. He had the religion. He had the so-called form of godliness, morality, but that's all it was, form. Well, he came to Jesus. Look at verse 2. It says, this Pharisee came to Jesus by night. Now, we all know why he came by night. We know why he came by night. He came by night. He came under the cover of darkness because he feared the Jews. Because he knew that he would be put out of the synagogue. He would be put off the Sanhedrin. He would be put out of office if they found him coming to see Jesus of Nazareth. They all hated Jesus of Nazareth. Despised him, rejected him, called him a devil, an imposter. But he came to Jesus. And I want to say this about Nicodemus. I'm glad he came. It doesn't matter what time of night he came or what time of day. I'm just glad he came. It doesn't matter the reason for which he came, but I'm glad he came. He came to talk to Jesus Christ. He came to listen. He came to inquire about this man, Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you, I'm glad he came. At least he came. At least he came. And if he ever is going to learn anything about God, he's going to have to come to Christ. The Scripture says that. The Scripture says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. He said, no man has seen God. The only begotten Son declares him. So this man Nicodemus did the right thing for whatever reason, at whatever time, it doesn't matter, but he did the right thing. At least he came to Jesus. Mary sat at his feet and listened to him. I wish people would come and listen. I wish folks would open the Bible and listen. God speaks today through his word, just like he spoke then through Christ his Son. He speaks through his word. I wish they'd come and listen. Take the word, open it, sit and listen. Inquire into the things of God, like we're doing right now. You're sitting there listening. Got your Bible open. Let's see what the man has to say. Let's see what God has to say. Let's see what the Scripture says. Let's be quiet and listen. I don't care what time of night you come or for what reason you come. You may come to prove me wrong. That's all right, but listen. And Nicodemus, now listen to what he said in verse 2. He came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, Master, this man had been taught some etiquette. This man had been taught some respect. He came to our Lord Jesus and he called him Master. And he said this. He said, I know you're a teacher come from God. I know you came from God. Because no man could do the miracles you do except God be with him. I've had people come and sit and listen to me preach on this television program and not agree with what I have to say. But they say this at the close of the message. Well, I've never heard it that way, but that's what the Bible says. He's teaching the Word of God. He's not just up there screaming and yelling and ranting and raving and raising money. He's teaching the Word of God. This is what the Bible says, so I'm going to come back and hear him again. And that's what Nicodemus said. He said, Master, I know you came from God because you speak the Word of God and you do the works of God. And no man could do what you're doing except God be with him. Even this Pharisee was no fool. Are you? He wasn't a religious fool. He didn't know Jesus Christ, who he was or what he came to do, but he wanted to know. He wanted to find out. He knew he came from God. He knew he spoke for God. He knew he did the works of God. He knew God was with him. This is an honest man. This is an observant man. Oh, I wish you would compare preachers. I wish folks wouldn't blindly follow men because of their charisma or because of their crowds or because of their so-called deeds. I wish they'd listen to what they're saying. What are they saying? And Nicodemus came to listen. He said, Rabbi, Master, I know you're from God because no man could do what you do except God be with him. Nicodemus had the law, he had the form, he had the ceremony, but he recognized that Jesus of Nazareth had something he didn't have. And he wanted to inquire about it. Nicodemus had the law, he had the form, he had the ceremony. What do you have? Same thing, maybe. And he realized that Jesus Christ had something he didn't have. He had the power of God, the presence of God, the truth of God, the Word of God, the promise of God. What Nicodemus had didn't satisfy him, or he wouldn't have come. You ever thought about that? This man Nicodemus, high up in religion, nevertheless came to Jesus by night and said, Master, I know you came from God because no man could do what you do except God be with you. And I know something else is going on in his mind. He's not satisfied with his form and with his ceremony, with his tradition, and with his so-called righteousness. He knows Christ has something he doesn't have, and that's the presence and the power and the promises and the truth of God. And he doesn't know how to say it. He doesn't know what he doesn't have. He doesn't know what he hasn't heard. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. But he's inquiring. He's come to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice our Lord's reply. Now listen. Notice his reply. He said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, that truly, truly, or its equivalent, thus saith the Lord. This is the record. That's what he's about to say. Thus saith the Lord, truly, truly. This is God speaking. This is the authority of God speaking. I say unto you, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, authority. This is not comparing notes. This is not guessing. This is authority. This is God speaking. Listen to it. Except a man, any man, you, me, Nicodemus, religious or otherwise, in the church or in the world, except a man, any man, be born again. Be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Those two words, born again. Do you have a Bible with a reference, a center reference? There's a figure there beside born again, a letter or a number. What does the center reference say? It says born from above. Nicodemus, except a man, you or any man, as high as you are in religion, as important as you are, unless you're born again, born from above, not from below, born from above, born not by your act, but by an act of God, born from above, born of God. Not persuaded, not talked into a decision, but born again. Born from above. You know, the whole religious world begins at the wrong end in the matter of the new birth. I hear people talking about the new birth. All of these high-flying evangelists and important people talking about the new birth. Come down to the church and get born again. Read your Bible and get born again. Believe and get born again. You're not born again because you believe. You believe because you're born again. You're not born again because you love God. You love God because you're born again. Born again comes first. A baby doesn't. He's not born because he cries. He cries because he's born. A baby's not born because he breathes. He breathes because he's born. He's born and then he breathes. He's born and then he cries. He's born and then he sees. He's born and then he hears. He's born and then he loves. And that's what our Lord's saying to Nicodemus. You're not going to see the kingdom of God, understand the kingdom of God, even perceive the kingdom of God, unless you're born from above, born of God. It doesn't begin with men, it begins with God. This whole religious experience begins with God. Salvation begins with God. Creation begins with God. Jesus Christ was in the world, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Not of blood, that is, not of natural genealogy, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. That's why they received Christ. That's why they believed on Christ. That's why they embraced Christ, because they were born from above, born of God. That's first. Did you know that? Read it. Here stands a man, religious, moral, self-righteous, a student, a governing ruler in the Jewish religion. He doesn't know who Christ is. He doesn't have any peace or joy. He doesn't see the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And Christ said, your problem is you haven't been born again. Except a man's born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now listen. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The Bible. Who is he, God Almighty? Whose will? Not our will, his will. Of his own will. Begat. What is begat? Born. Begat he us with the word of truth. Listen. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope. Listen, 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Our Lord said, Nicodemus, unless a man, any man, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, down in verse 5, our Lord said, look down there a moment, verse 5. Except the man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, there he's talking about being a part of it, entering into the kingdom of God. Here in verse 3, he's talking about understanding it. He can't see it. Except a man's born again, he doesn't even know there is a kingdom of God. He doesn't understand it. You see, the kingdom of God is spiritual. We're carnal. The kingdom of God is heavenly. We're of the earth. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not outward demonstration. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. This is the true God. This is eternal life. There's got to be a work of God, a work of grace, a work of the Spirit of God before there's a knowledge of, an understanding of, an interest in the kingdom of God. You see that? Except the man, I say this to you, truly, truly. Except a man born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. He can't comprehend it. He can't understand it. He can't see it. And then Nicodemus revealed his ignorance. Here's this religious scholar and his lack of understanding when he said, born again? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? My friend, it's not wise to make light of Scripture. It's not wise to ridicule the Word of God, even if you don't understand it. Our Lord said, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't ridicule that. Don't make light of it. If you're wise, you'll inquire as to what it means. And the next verse tells you. Again he said, verse 5, truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Unless he's born again, he can't even see it or comprehend it or understand it. Unless he's born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter. He cannot be a part of the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is a holy kingdom for holy people. It's a spiritual kingdom for spiritual people. It's a heavenly kingdom for heavenly people, not carnal, fleshly people. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. What is this water? What is this water, born of the water? Well, it's not baptism. It's not literal water. It's the Word of God. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, we're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, in whom you trusted after you heard the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed of life. That's right. The Word of God, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. You see that? The water, born of the water, is born of the Word, the seed of the Word. Now, what's the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and regenerates the sinner, makes that Word effectual to the heart. In 1 Corinthians 2, the Scripture says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, they're spiritually discerned. And eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and it hath not entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the deep things of God, yea, the deep things of God, and makes them known to us. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, the seed of life, and begets or quickens, regenerates a sinner, and he lives. That's right. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians. He said, brethren, I know your election of God, because our gospel didn't come to you in word only. It came to you in power in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. So here's how a man's born again. The Word of God is preached in the power of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit takes that Word and sends it into the heart. That seed is planted in the heart, and that seed lives. The Word of life is what it is. The Word of life. Christ is the Word of God. The new heaven requires a new nature, and that new nature comes at the new birth. We're born children, we're born babes, and we grow. And it's by the Word of God that we grow. By the Word of God that faith comes. It's by the Word of God we're comforted. By the promises of God. All right, look at verse 6. He said, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And if you could re-enter your mother's womb and be born, you'd still be flesh. You're born from a natural father and a natural mother. But when a person is born of the Spirit, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Born of God, born from above, born of the Word of God, and born by the power of God, and born by the Spirit of God. And when a person's born, he cries. When he's born, he sees. When he's born, he hears. When he's born, he believes. But it's by the power of God that you're born. Now watch this. And he says in verse 7, marvel not at this. Don't be amazed. Don't be amazed at this, Nicodemus. Now listen to me. Don't go away. The wind blows where it listeth. The wind blows where it pleases. You know what he's saying? The wind blows where it pleases. You got any control over the wind? Neither do I. Go outside. The wind's blowing where it pleases. You can't tell from whence it cometh, and you can't tell where it's going. It's a sovereign wind. It blows where it pleases, it comes from where it pleases, and goes where it pleases. Even so is everyone who is born of the Spirit of God. Are you with me? This is my Lord speaking. Except a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You're talking to a man who doesn't even know what you're talking about. Except a man's born of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And don't be amazed at this, that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, where it wants to blow. And you hear the sound. You can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. Even so is everyone that's born of God. Who commands the wind? God does. Where does the wind come from? From God. Where does the wind go? Where God sends it. Who commands the wind? The disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind obeys his voice? Psalm 139 says, he bringeth the wind out of his treasures. Psalm 145 says, he causes the wind to blow. And I'm saying this, the new birth is from above, of God, by the Word, by the power of the Spirit, sovereignly, as God pleases. He'll be merciful to whom he will, and he'll save whom he will. Now listen, just like the wind is his grace, all sovereign and all free, great God, how unsearchable are thy ways, how deep thy judgments be. The Spirit, like a heavenly wind, blows on this son of flesh, creates a new heavenly mind, and forms life afresh. The sovereign will of God alone creates us heirs of grace, born in the image of his Son, and saved by his sovereign grace.